Welcome to the Unpause Your Dreams podcast, the show where dreams aren't just visions, they're the reality we're here to help you craft. I'm Charlene Ridley, your guide on this transformative journey. Each episode, we'll delve into the art of dreaming big, the power of perseverance, and the strategies to turn aspirations into tangible accomplishments. Whether you've put your dreams on the back burner or feel stuck in the what's next, together, we'll hit play on your potential. So dreamers, innovators, and go-getters, let's dive in and unpause your dreams so that you can live now. Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Unpause Your Dreams podcast. I'm your host, Charlene Ridley, and we are recording live from the Unpause Your Dreams Creative Studio in Charlotte, North Carolina. For those of you that are familiar with me, I am a dream development coach, and I really help people take their someday dreams and make them right now realities. Now, I realize for all of you listeners, each of you have different dreams. So the goal of this podcast is to talk about the foundational things, the mindset that sets you up for success and for achieving your dreams, and then to dive into the specifics of different dreams that you may have, and also to bring on guests in the future that will align and show you how you can actually dream big and accomplish it. Because everything that you may be thinking about, there is someone in the world that has done something similar. And I like to say, when we look around the world, we can use these people and their lives, their stories, as evidence that anything is possible and that if they can, so can we. So this week, I'm excited to jump in to one of our specifics and to specifically talk to you all about a thing that matters most in this economy, I think. We all are familiar with rising cost of everything, housing, groceries, gas. On the news and in everything that you're seeing on social media, there's always conversation that can generate fear in you and fear of what's coming and what may happen. There are news of layoffs. There's all sorts of things. And so when I think about specifically a dream that many people have that's completely relevant to the times, I think specifically about the dream of making money outside of the job that they are working. So today's episode, I want to dive into that. I want to dive into that because it's important, right? If things are going up, if the cost of living is rising and the wages are not increasing, then it means that more than ever before, you need to start considering being a side hustler or an entrepreneur. And I know for many of you, that sounds very scary. The first thought I want to tackle with that is the thought that may come up that I don't have any skills, I'm not enough. It's the really underlying thought of I'm not enough, right? I don't have enough, I don't know enough, I don't have enough time, I don't have enough money. It's all an underlying thought that you are not enough. So when it comes to my clients and people that I coach, when we're talking through how to create money outside of your job, we start by looking at who you are, right? So one of the things that you can do is sit down and analyze your skills, your passions, and your hobbies. So let's talk about skills. What do you do in your full-time job? Are you a marketing professional? If you're a marketing professional, how do you translate the 9-to-5 skill set that you have to freelance income? Because if you're doing it for someone for pay at a company or a corporation all day long, then you can certainly easily transfer those skills into the freelance or consulting market. It's important for me to say to you, if you are thinking about doing this and using the skills that you have in your full-time job, then you might want to make sure that you don't have any non-compete agreements, right? Some companies will hire you and make you sign non-competes. For example, I know my daughter is an esthetician. She owns her own spa. One of the reasons it was really important for her to own her own spa is because she wanted to have the autonomy and decision making to say who and where she would pick up additional projects, work, or things for. If she were to have signed on to another spa, then she would have had a non-compete for a specific time frame within a specific zone or radius, right? And it wasn't worth it to her at the time, based on her goals and her dreams, to sign up with another company. Instead, she decided to start her own. So if you're looking at creating money and making money outside of the job that you work, the 9-to-5, using the skills that you have in your 9-to-5, make sure that you don't have a non-compete in place. But let's continue talking about the skills. So if you're not a marketer, let's say you are a paralegal and you work for an attorney's office. You want to sit down and you want to look at the skill set that it takes for you to accomplish the work that you accomplish there. So maybe you would not be a paralegal outside of your 9-to-5. I'm not saying it's not possible, because you certainly could find a solopreneur attorney that needed some extra paralegal work, and you could possibly do that on the side on a consultancy basis. But if you decided you did not want to also do paralegal work outside of your 9-to-5, you could take the skill sets that you have. So for example, as a paralegal, you would have calendaring skills. You would have, definitely you would have client relationship and relationship management skills. You would have a whole host of skills. So I want you to think through that, if that is you, right? And think about just writing all of this down. What are those skills that I have? And then how could I package those skills and make them completely marketable right now in the marketplace? Using that example of the paralegal, you could absolutely turn that into virtual assisting. Virtual assisting is a huge market and huge opportunity right now. I know that I personally have hired a virtual assistant who's also a personal assistant and a home manager, but there's a huge market for doing those sort of things. That's a good point. Now that I think about it, and I'm thinking about Jessica, shout out to Run It by Jessica. That is my personal assistant partner who keeps my life on track, and I'm really excited and happy that I have found her and able to be working with her. But one of the things that I think that is incredible, using her as an example, is when she decided that she was going to take on additional work outside of her job, right? She's now full-time in doing this work. But when she first thought of it, she knew that she had the skills for home management, right? She really liked organization and that kind of thing. So here's the reality. When you're looking at your skill set, get creative, because maybe you like organization and home management. And off the top of your head, I think of clutter professionals, right? Or organizers. But what if you took it a step farther and said, oh, I could do home management? For some people, you think of home management as something that celebrities have, right? I know today when I was doing an interview and Jessica was doing some behind the scene footage, she mentioned to the person that was interviewing me that she also does home management. And their response was, oh, of really large homes? And she said, no, of all sorts of homes. And so I need you to understand that if you're being creative and you're looking at your skill set, you don't have to limit yourself to say, okay, I couldn't offer home management services because I don't know any celebrities, right? Because there are people that are looking for services and convenience and support, right? That are not celebrities, but are just incredibly busy professionals. And if you have a, you call it in Christianity or in the church, they call it servant leadership. If you have a certain servant leadership heart, then you certainly might be able to support one of those busy professionals. So look at your skill set. Really dive into what skill set do you have and how does that translate to creating money outside of work. The second thing was passion, right? Think about your passions. What are you passionate about? Are you passionate about criminal justice reform? I mentioned that one off the top of my head because if you know me and if you follow me at all, that you know that I am an advocate for criminal justice reform because there are some stories that are very personal to me and how the current criminal system has impacted my family and those that I love. We'll get into those stories in another episode because I have some people on that I want to talk through that with and the work that they're doing in that space. But using criminal justice as a passion, you might just sit down and decide, you know what? I'm really passionate about this and I want to start a blog writing about it and help bringing awareness. Anytime you think about starting a blog, there's an opportunity to monetize it. What do I mean? I mean that from the very beginning. Here's a fallacy, guys. Everybody thinks, maybe not everybody, because those that know that it isn't true. But most people think that when you're getting started with something, a blog, a podcast, or anything like that, you have to grow to a certain level before you can start to monetize it. That is not true. Right? It is absolutely not true. There are people out there in the market space that are actually teaching people how to monetize things from the very beginning. And the way that you do that is by understanding specifically who you are marketing to. So if you're doing a criminal justice blog, are you marketing to policymakers? Are you marketing to voters? Who are you marketing to? Who are you wanting to get your message across to? And then who are the people that would want to advertise to that group, right? So you'd be able to create a pitch deck specifically speaking to who the demographics of your blog are and the companies that would want to get in and get in early, right? On whatever it is that you're generating in your blog. So ad space, right? So you'd want to go ahead and sit down, think very clearly. Here's my passion. Here's what I'm going to blog about. So if it's cooking, right? If I'm going to blog about cooking, then I know I'm targeting. I know you will say, oh, everyone eats, Charlene. Okay, fantastic. Everyone does eat. But whenever you're doing anything, right? You should think about serving one person. Who's the one person? So if you're writing a blog about cooking, who is the one person that you're hoping to reach? Is it the busy mom that is having to feed her children in the car because she's on her way to sports practices after work, right? Is it the single man who gets tired of takeout and wants to learn how to make some pretty yummy, delicious meals at home on his own? Think about your one person. Once you think about your one person, then you can think of all of the people or companies that would want to market to that one person. Then you create your pitch deck for your advertisements for blog, or if it was a podcast, then you create your pitch deck and you start to pitch these companies. One of the incredible things about getting advertisements and sponsorships from the very beginning before you launch is that for corporations that want to market, the cost of entry is less expensive. If you wait until you have 10,000, 100,000 followers, page visits, downloads, all of that sort of thing, the cost of advertising and sponsoring you would be significantly higher. And that's something that you should absolutely highlight in your pitch deck, why it's important for them to get in on the ground level. Similarly, if you're thinking about passions, it can be something else. So maybe cooking, maybe criminal justice. It can be something else that you're passionate about. For example, I once saw when my mom, you guys don't know, but my mom has been diagnosed with Parkinson's and dementia. And so one of the things that is interesting about this is she can't follow things for a long period of time because they become confusing. So she really, really, really likes game shows, right? And so she spends some time between my house and my parents' house. And so when she's with me, we sit down and we watch some game shows together. One of the game shows that we watched is Press Your Luck. Really like that show because it's fun. Actually, I even
auditioned to be on it, but somehow I think I froze up while I was auditioning and I wasn't selected. So press your luck, casting crew. I'm coming for you. Please come back. I'm going to do this because I want to be on there so my mom can see it. But okay, random side. That was a random side. The point is, I was watching Cast Your Press Your Luck with my mom, and there was a woman or man on there. I can't remember. But what I remember uniquely was that they were really passionate about rowing in these dragon boats. I don't remember what they were called, right? But they were super passionate about it. And that was one of the prizes that they wanted to win. So I think about something like that. There's not just one person in the world that's passionate about this. There are other people that are passionate about it. You could start a club, right? And charge people a fee to be a part of this club. You could start a masterclass, right? Like an on-site masterclass, because obviously it would be hard to learn how to row just sitting around and listening to it, right? Or just visually seeing someone row like this. If you're watching the video on YouTube, it would be kind of difficult, but you could have an in-person class that you charged people money to get involved in, to experience it. Maybe it's an introductory lesson or ride, right? And you charge them money to get involved. So whatever your passion is, I guarantee you there's a way to make money doing it. And I know this because I do it all day with my clients. So those were some examples of how you can use your passion to make money. Also, you can use your hobbies, right? So I think this one is like an easy one. Most people know, like if you love to cook, then you can start a catering or meal prep business on the side. If you love to sew or crochet, like I have a crocheted sweater on for those of you that are watching the video on YouTube. If you like to crochet, you can crochet things, you can create things, right? And whatever your hobby is, you can also create an income doing that. There are lots of sites. I won't mention any because they're not sponsoring me yet, but you know some of the ones that we're thinking about that are specifically geared towards creatives that are interested in being able to bring the products that they make and produce to the market. So those things are ways that you can start right away and start creating money on the side. I think it's really important to think through this. So when you're sitting down, instead of saying, I don't have enough, right? So let's say you're saying, okay, all right, Charlene, I hear you. I know that I can take my 9-to-5 skills and I can make money outside of my 9-to-5, but I don't have enough resources to know like how to get leads or how to get clients. Here's what I have to say to that. You get to start thinking differently. It's not about what you don't have. Instead of saying, I don't have or I don't have enough, ask yourself, how could I start this additional stream of income today and get clients? Because I know that you're resourceful. I know that you are, because if you work a full-time job, gone are the days of being in 2 weeks of training to get up to speed to start working your job. You usually have on-the-job training, and it may last for a few days if you have someone sitting with you or someone teaching you something or a webinar or something like that. After that, in most organizations, and I'm not saying that I agree with this or that it's the right way to go, I'm simply saying that I know that it exists because I've been in corporate America. I was in corporate America for so long. In most organizations, you really are expected to figure it out. And that's one of the things that they even look for when they're hiring you. They look for, you've heard it, are you self-directed? If you're self-directed, they're asking you if you're resourceful enough to figure it out without someone telling you. And if you are, then you are absolutely resourceful enough to figure out how to get clients or leads for your new stream of income, right? Without someone telling you. But here's a couple of tricks. If you're going to sell the skills that you have in the market, there are also, like, there are websites for creatives, right? And I will name a few of these, even though they're not yet sponsoring me, But I will name a few of them because some of them people are not familiar with. I won't name the really super popular ones that everyone knows, but like, for example, Upwork. Upwork is a website where you can put yourself out there to take on small consultants, projects, and that kind of work. So if you're going to use the paralegal from the conversation earlier, if you were going to use skill sets from that, you could also put yourself on Upwork and create a profile for yourself. There's Thumbtack. There's a couple of different ones that you could put yourself onto it. But you could also go onto your social media, right? And I'm assuming that most people have social media. I know that there are a few rare birds that do not have social media, but for the most part, you have some form of social. You could go onto social media and you can say, here's what I'm doing, right? And here are the services that I'm offering. Now, here's the first thing. When you go post yourself on social media, don't worry about your friends and family supporting you. I think this is super important for me to say because I see so many people online talking about friends and family not supporting them and being frustrated about that. I think that that's a waste of energy. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of energy. You don't have to worry about whether or not your friends or family are supporting you if you are actively putting yourself out there to find and be discovered by people that need your services. So you simply put yourself out there on social media to say, hey, this is what I'm doing, and who do you know? Or can you share this post, right? You, if you're on Facebook, you can go into Facebook groups and start to offer up your services. If you're on LinkedIn, you can go on LinkedIn and start talking about what you're doing on the side. There are also groups there that you could put yourself into. But here's another trick that people don't think about a lot. Networking events. Nothing beats meeting people in person. Gosh, I feel like this episode is chock full of good stuff. So if you guys think it is too, please share it with a friend, subscribe, or also leave me a comment on any of my social media platforms. I am Charlene Ridley on Facebook, and it is I am Charlene Ridley on Instagram. But I'd love to hear back from you. But as you're out here and you're creating connections for yourself, opportunities for yourself, and leads, one thing that people forget to do is to connect in person. So yes, you can use your social, and yes, I suggested that. Yes, you can use these websites that allow people to come on and post themselves and their skills, but nothing beats an in-person connection. Let me give you an example. I host a monthly event here at the Unpause Your Dreams Creative Studio in Charlotte, North Carolina, and it is called The Connect. It is a networking event for women that are either aspiring entrepreneurs or already experienced entrepreneurs. Why does it matter that they're entrepreneurs? Because I want to put people in the same space that have similar interests. And if you are aspiring, it makes sense to get in a room with people that are already doing it so you can rub elbows with them, so you can get the energy, which is contagious, so you can learn from them, so you can create partnerships, build and grow, all of that good stuff, right? So I have this networking event, and women come in the last Thursday of every month. They pay to come to this networking event, and they show up and they're able to build relationships and to connect with people. Now, I have done this event 3 times. It is now going to be the 4th time this coming Thursday. One thing that I realize is that we've had quite a few people, women in the room, that have never networked and were really hesitant to do it because I think we live in a world that's gotten really comfortable with being online and not being face to face with people. But in whatever you do, there's still going to be the like, trust, and know factor, right? People are going to want to know who you are, feel like they can trust you, and feel like they like you in order to do business with you. Now, random side note, I know that there are people out there that say people don't have to like you. They just need to know that you will solve a problem for them. I happen to disagree with that because I think that if anyone knows that you'll solve a problem for them but doesn't like you, that can lead to them not trusting you. And ultimately, if they don't trust you, then they're either going to have a problem with the work that you do or how it's delivered. Ultimately, it's just not going to be a good working relationship. So I believe in the like, trust, and know factor. the best way for someone to get to know you is for them to actually experience you, to spend time and space with you, to see you and see how you move and your mannerisms and your expressions and your energy and how you sound when you're speaking to them. All of those things, right? All of those things that are kind of masked from us on social media, because even though I may think I like, trust, or know you on social media, I realize that it may have taken 8 or 20 takes for you to do the reel or even the Instagram live that you show up on. You might have gone live before and it didn't work out for you and you deleted it and you came back and did it again after you've practiced. But being up close and in person with someone allows you to connect with them and get to know them. And so my suggestion is that you put it on your calendar and make it a goal to go to 1 to 2 networking events a month. I would say 2 if you're just starting out. And when you go to those networking events, make sure that you are not going with the selfish intention of let me see what I can get here. You want to make sure that you're going into those environments with an intention of meeting and connecting with people. And I won't go too deeply into networking because we actually are going to have a networking guru on here. That is literally her name, the Connection Guru. And she's a dear friend of mine, but we will have her on an episode to talk about networking, how you become more confident with that, and how you walk into a room with confidence, poise, and intention. But in the meantime, here's some advice that you can take away about networking. You will go into that room with the intention that you are there to connect and to get to know people. But you don't want to go into the room with the idea that I'm going to show up and see what people can do for me. So you're going to connect and you're not going to immediately ask, what is it that you do? Instead, here's one question that I think is super helpful. You can ask the person, have you been to this networking event before? And they will say yes or no. If they say no, you will say, oh, are you new to networking? And if they say yes, then you can say me too. And you guys can start to explore the space of that. Like, well, what brings you here? If they say no, I come here every month, you can say, what has your experience been here? And I mentioned you can say you come here every month, or they say they can come here every month, but you really have an opportunity, no matter what they say, to get into deeper conversation and dialogue with that person, and to, through the course of that conversation and dialogue, learn what it is that they do and how you all may connect in the future. That's super important, especially when it comes to the like, trust, and know factor and the world that we live in, where so often people are connecting solely through social media. It'll help set you apart, but it builds local connections for you, and it helps put you right in front of people that can either partner with you, help you learn and grow, spread your message, or that you could even hire to do business. So I think networking is super important, and it is a way to get yourself out there and start to use the skills that we've talked about to create income for you right now. I know this has been a lot of information, and I'm sure it's been helpful because we aim to deliver value and really help you in your life where you're at today so that you can understand that you have the power and the ability to create change and to live the life that you actually dream of. So with that said, if this has been incredibly beneficial to you, please subscribe, share with a friend, and follow me on social media so that you can comment. If you're following me on social media and you DM me with any thoughts or questions you have, I'll be happy to answer them either on social media, or if it's a big enough question that I'm seeing a couple of times from people, I'll come back to one of these podcast sessions and I will answer your question. So as we are ending today's episode, I want to leave you with an example from the real world. I told you in the beginning that we'll have people on this podcast that will talk about their stories and what it is that they're doing and what they are creating in the world. And through them, we will see evidence of what is possible. So I want to leave you with a story, and this is specifically for our younger listeners, but not only for them, also for the older listeners, so that you are encouraged. If you are a student or a child, teenager that is listening to today's episode, and you've not yet entered the workforce, I don't want you to think that you don't have any skills, passions, or hobbies that you can use to make an additional stream of income. As a matter of fact, my daughter, Ava Grace, is 15 years old, and she's always looking at ways that she can make money. And as a matter of fact, she just became a volleyball referee because she actually plays volleyball, loves it, and understands that she can make money from reffing when she's not playing. So that's an incredible way that you can get started, also if you're young. But I want to leave you with this story of a young woman that I met 2 or 3 weeks ago at a coaching conference up in DC. Her name is Janae. She's an incredible woman. Shout out to you, Janae, who started her coaching business at 15 and decided that she was going to help people get into Ivy League colleges. And to first do that, she was going to help herself and make sure that she was on the path to getting into those schools and then help others do that. So she did get into an Ivy League school. She went to Stanford. And last year when she graduated Stanford, she had actually hit her $300,000 year in terms of income. This is not in terms of profit. This is in terms of income. I want to be clear on that. I don't know specifically what her profit was, but guess what? I do plan on having Janae on our show at some point in the near future. I want to leave you with this example because Janae did not have any way of knowing when she was 15 that she would have a business that 7 years later would generate $300,000 in revenue. She had no idea of knowing that, but she was passionate about something, getting into an Ivy League school, and she set out to create a strategy and a model for how it was done and to teach others how to do it. So I would imagine, without having her here to talk through that, she would have started smaller than she is today, right? Because now she has years and years and years of receipts and evidence that she can do this. But she got started. She did not subscribe to hustle culture because she did this, continued this while she was in college. And she worked the plan. She improved her skill set. She continued giving people results. And the outcome of that is that she has created tremendous results. Results that I would dare say, and we'll ask her this when she comes, but I would dare say that when she was 15, she had no idea that she could create these kind of results. This is what I call paycheck optional, because yes, now she has a Stanford degree, but she also is creating money in her own business, giving her options and opportunities so that if the world is not what she wants to see, with wages not increasing, but the cost of living going up, She has a choice. Does she want to work for a corporation, or does she want to continue to scale and grow her business? I leave you with this example because I want you to also have these choices. I want you to be paycheck optional. I want you to be unmoved by the fear in all of the conversations that are going on in the world that are telling you that costs are going up, your wages are not, and that you are not going to make it. You can make it, and you will make it. If you choose to go out there and get an additional stream of income, it will absolutely help you live the life that you desire for you and your family right now. So I hope this story leaves you with some encouragement. I know that you hear the results and you're like, those are incredible results. And I have to say they are. But here's the reality. You never know what you can create if you, one, have an idea, two, execute that idea, and three, stick with it to see what it becomes. Ideas alone are not money makers. Execution is where the money starts to happen, right? But over time and longevity, through planning, through strategy, and through learning and growth and stick-to-itness, you can even grow that money to more than you've ever expected or imagined. Now, I will say one more thing. I know that I've said a couple of things, but I'll say one more thing. Not everyone wants to be multiple six figures, but I do think that you have the right to decide and choose what it is that you want for you and make your income goals align with whatever it is that you want. Because in this podcast and in my world, it is all about you determining what you want and what your dream life looks like for you. That's the space that we're in. It's not about keeping up with other people, about what social media says. It is about creating the life that you desire, whatever that is. And I hope each of these episodes assist you in that journey. So I hope that you guys have enjoyed today's episode. Please share it with a friend, and we'll see you back next Tuesday on Unpause Your Dreams, the podcast. Bye. And there we have it. Another episode of Unpause Your Dreams comes to a close. I hope this episode inspires you to take action. Remember, even the smallest action taken daily brings you closer to achieving your dream. If today's episode resonates with you, please subscribe, leave a rating, and/or a review. It helps us reach more dreamers like you. I'm Charlene Ridley, reminding you to never let your dreams stay paused. Keep dreaming, keep growing, and until next time, keep pressing play on your dreams.